Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. FA Cup weekend, plenty of games to get through. We'll be getting the thoughts of Aaron Ashley later on in the show as well. Mark, we're like passing ships at the moment. I'm in London. You're jet-setting up and down the country. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, Leeds, Jack, come on. I mean, I'm not in the Bahamas.
Anywhere north of sort of Birmingham, I'd describe as jet setting.
Yeah, so we've obviously got an office in Leeds as well as London. So I thought I'd sort of go and see the team that's based in Leeds for a few days. So I've been up here since Tuesday morning. Went out on Tuesday night. I didn't play darts. Some of them played darts. I was sort of better on the pool table. And then I'm sure we'll get to it in the Norwich game. I went to watch Leeds against Norwich last night just to keep me out of the pub. And then, yeah, I'm back home on the Rattler sort of later on this afternoon.
I don't know why, Mike, because you're a man of many talents, but you're a bit of a shrewd pool player, aren't you? We had a few games a while back and you know your way around the table.
I was sort of better when I was spending more time in the pub. I always think it's sort of a good barometer of how long you spend in the pub, sort of, you know, whether you can hold a pool cue the right way round. So no, it was over Christmas, wasn't it? We had had a few games. Steve Palmer was also very he was very good. I was seven balling one of the other lads in fine style off the break and just knocking them all down. So yeah, The sports desk likes to, you know, does fancy themselves as good with a Q Sports. Steve's good. I can play. Adrian Humphreys, the snooker expert, he class. And then also Dave Clark has worked on the sports desk now, doing fine work with the Greyhound department. He very talented as well. So yeah, we fancy ourselves.
I always enjoy watching people play, you know, various sport and their kind of respective superstitions. And it was quite annoying playing against Steve at pool because he kind of has to have the chalk in his pocket, doesn't he? Like he's sort of Judd Trump at the Masters. And you're going, oh, come on, Steve, pass it over.
We only have one bit of chalk and Steve would put it in his pocket unless the other person was playing a shot, yeah.
We'll get on to your night at Elland Road later on in the show, Mark. We've, of course, had a couple of League Cup semi-finals, second legs during this week. The two favourites getting through. Chelsea in convincing style after their first leg defeat to Middlesbrough. All started off with a Johnny Howson own goal. I mean, I guess we can just talk about this in a broad sense, Mark. We probably expected these two sides to meet in the final when we saw the semi-final draw. That's what's happened. And yeah, they got it done in where they needed to.
Yeah, I think some people see it slightly depressing that, you know, another of the, you know, I know Chelsea is struggling slightly, but he sort of, you know, the big six are both in the final of the League Cup. But, you know, they just are so strong, aren't they? The teams that sort of top end of the Premier League, I think that the ones bottom half are getting better, but there still seems to be just that gap that's still between them. In terms of the final, I mean, Liverpool are fairly strong favourites to lift the trophy. I think that's right. They're top of the table, obviously, in the Premier League at the moment. I've shown over the last few years, really, that they're in a better place, stronger than Chelsea. Chelsea have got a half-decent record against the big clubs this season, and maybe that will give them hope. But I just look at the matchup between the Chelsea defence and the Liverpool front line, assuming that kind of, you know, that Salah's back by then. And I just feel that Liverpool will come out on top. I think it's a bigger game for Chelsea because for Pochettino to get a trophy on the board for himself, obviously in England, but just to cement that relationship with the Chelsea fans, I think would be, an important step for him. But I do think that Liverpool are just further ahead in their sort of evolution, isn't it? That sort of this Klopp sort of team, sort of 2.0 that it's been referred to. And I would expect them to win at Wembley. And Who knows how many trophies they'll win this season? They're top of the Premier League, as I mentioned. They're in the final of the the League Cup. We speak about the fact that they've got a good draw in the FA Cup, and a number of the Premier League sides are going out, and they've already beaten Arsenal, Europa League favourites as well. So it could be a memorable season for Jurgen Klopp's side.
Absolutely. Chelsea seem to have this knack, don't they, of maybe like sort of failing to deliver in the Premier League and then just getting to cup finals. It seems like year after year.
Their mentality is, it does feel like, even in a bad year, and they are having a bad year, they can still reach a cup final. It is, I don't know. I'm never really sold on the mentality point of view. And, you know, some clubs are just winners and this type of thing. But Chelsea have struggled in finals, haven't they, recently at Wembley? But they found a way to get there time after time. Yeah, it is amazing how they do it. And they are getting better. I was a bit surprised their FA Cup game's not on TV, actually, against Aston Villa, because it's a real cracker. But they are getting, we're starting to see them putting a few Premier League wins on a run there. They've obviously taken Middlesbrough to the cleaners. It was a weakened Middlesbrough side, so I wouldn't get overexcited, but they've still given them a pasting. And maybe they're kind of laying down a marker for next season. This is a Chelsea team on improving, but they need to improve. I mean, the amount of money they've spent and to be where they are in the Premier League is a joke, really, isn't it? And a running joke.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get on to those FA Cup matches we spoke about now. And we'll speak to Errol Ashley later on in the show as well.
Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe.
Yeah, we'll get on to our big match then. Spurs against Manchester City, Friday night, 8 p.m. under the lights. Mark, I'm sure you're excited for this. You had such you were offended, weren't you, when I said, were you up for the cup in the last round? And you said, of course I'm up for the cup, Jack. You know, we need to win a trophy. Is this the year?
I don't think so. I don't think you can say this is the year when you've got Manchester City in the fourth round. We'll get on to whether potentially Tottenham are a value bet to beat Manchester City. But yeah, I mean, it's a big occasion, this. I mean, City, I've been given 9,000 tickets as well. So it should be a rip-roaring atmosphere. Two teams that like to go forward. The fact that they're playing on the Friday night, bit of a break before the next Premier League game, which is in the midweek, but it's not like you're playing Sunday, Wednesday. So an opportunity to potentially pick strong teams. And if they can get past Manchester City, Tottenham, then of course they'll believe it's all on, because you look at the way the draw has kind of worked out. We've already got Arsenal out of the competition. One of Tottenham and Manchester City is going out. One of Chelsea and Aston Villa is going out. There are sort of a number of other all Premier League ties as well, aren't there? You have Sheffield United against Brighton, Fulham against Newcastle. So it's going to definitely cut up the draw. So I get where you're coming from, that if they beat Manchester City, it suddenly looks open. I would say that I agree with Ange Postecoglou, actually, though, that Tottenham's desperation for a trophy shouldn't impact what they're trying to do, because there is no kind of short circuit to winning any competition. The best thing to do is to just be as good as you can be season after season, and eventually you hope that something drops. And it didn't, obviously, for Tottenham under Pochettino. Then they did try to do that shortcut with Mourinho and Conte, and that proved not to be the right tactic. I think they're heading in the right direction. But when we were speaking, weren't we, about who might win the FA Cup, the one thing I said that put me off Tottenham was that Bissouma Sarr were away at the AFCON. Son is at the Asian Cup. We know that Maddison's not fully fit either. And those players, potentially in Maddison's case and in the others definitely, they're missing the third and fourth round. And they just needed to get lucky in the draw And it just so happens, of course, that they haven't got that luck in the fourth round draw. But they also know they've got a very good home record against Manchester City.
Well, let's talk about that home record then. I know there's been a feature coming up in the Racing Post Sport around the kind of the curse of the new Spurs Stadium for Manchester City. I mean, just talk us through the record and the kind of research that your guys have found.
Yeah, so Simon Giles, one of our analysts, has kind of delved beyond the numbers, because I think most people know that, you know, Man City have got a shocking record at Spurs' new stadium. If you remember, after they won the treble, Pep Guardiola was asked, what have you got left to achieve in English football? And he said, score at Tottenham, because it's now 5 games in a row, 5 defeats in a row, 1-0, 2-0, 2-0, 1-0, and 1-0 includes a, you know, famous Champions League quarterfinal. But, you know, Gilo, as we call him, has digged much deeper beyond just the kind of those results, and I think it throws out some remarkable statistics, among them that, you know, Manchester City kind of have like double the shots of Tottenham over that time. Their average XG is 1.64 to Man City's 0.86. you look at possession, it's 36-64. You look at touches in the penalty box, it's 17-36. So it's like basically double in kind of a lot of those key metrics. And the way that Simon went through it, he kind of simulated those goals and said that the chances of Manchester City scoring no goals from everything that's happened to them was like, it's under 0.01%. So, under 0.1%. It's something that's going to be broken very soon. They've missed 2 penalties.
Well, it's remarkable, Mark, because, you know, if that data was in one game, you could almost understand it. But, you know, if you're looking at 5 games, it feels like a big enough sample size where, you know, the kind of realms of that happening is just really unlikely. It's obviously not sustainable, but to have that over 5 games is just incredible.
Yeah, and even at the Etihad, City have had a number of problems dealing with Tottenham in recent years. A lot of that was down to Heung-min Son, and he's not around for this game. And Harry Kane as well, if you remember, scoring last minute goals, and they got the 3-3 earlier on this season as well. How much does that play on City's mind? You'd imagine it shouldn't. I mean, this is a team that won the treble last season. They shouldn't be sort of wary and scared of playing a Tottenham team that's not at full tilt, but it's one of just those really quirky sort of, you know, bogey teams, and that's almost unexplainable, really. I mean, we spent a couple of minutes trying to, but I think it is almost unexplainable.
What's your best bet for this one, Mark?
I do actually think that Tottenham around about 4-1 are overpriced, Jack. I mean, a lot will depend on the team news. We know that there's no Erling Haaland for Manchester City, or certainly that, if we believe what has been said in the sort of recent presses, he won't be playing. They don't normally play Ederson, do they, in the FA Cup games, and he's been injured as well. Do they risk Kevin De Bruyne from the start? Does he play the full 90 minutes? I'm not sure. So if City are sort of at full strength, then, you know, this is a bet you maybe wouldn't want to be on, but I'm not expecting Pep Guardiola to be 100% at it with his team selection. They've lost at Aston Villa and at Arsenal. They've only got 2 away clean sheets in the Premier League this season, overall Man City anyway. So you feel like Tottenham have got the ability to score a couple of goals past them. You also feel like City, you know, can do the same. And I just think in what is likely to be a chaotic game, just felt the 4-1 might give punters a run for their money, more than sort of taking City around about 8-13, 4-6.
Absolutely. Let's get through some more of the FA Cup action now. Yeah, let's get through some of the live games. Then it all starts Thursday, 7:45. So if you're wanting a punt on Bournemouth against Swansea, then be quick. Mark, let's talk through that game now.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Bournemouth to win and over 2.5 goals. I mean, Bournemouth had the setback against Liverpool last week. It was sort of a finishing clinic, really, wasn't it? In terms of the XG, it wasn't miles apart, but they were just undone by the quality of Liverpool. But generally speaking, and we've been very positive about Bournemouth, they're our FA Cup outright selection, so let's hope that they can get through this round against Swansea. And I'm expecting a wide open game. Luke Williams, recently appointed Swansea manager at Notts County, they were, you know, gung-ho, absolutely, the way that they played. And then I looked at the stats from their game against Southampton last weekend. 31 shots. There were 15 shots on target in that game between Swansea and Southampton. So, you know, if they play like that against Bournemouth, should be a game where Bournemouth win, but couldn't put sort of Swansea off scoring. And yeah, that it was sort of Bournemouth and both teams to score, or Bournemouth and over 2.5. I just felt that the way just going with the goals was the better angle.
Okay, we've discussed the Friday night game. Let's move on to the early kickoff Saturday. Portman Road awaits Maidstone United. It's Ipswich against Maidstone. I mean, the price is, Mark, how are we playing this one?
Yeah, obviously remarkable that the Conference South side have made it this far, and that they would have been hoping for with all due respect, a sort of bigger game than Ipswich.
You said it.
Beaten Chesham, Barrow and Stevenage so far. This is another step up. I'm going to go for Ipswich to win 3-0 at around about 7-1. Obviously, yeah, tougher than what they faced so far for Maidstone. And what goes against the non-leaguers, I think, is the fact that Ipswich don't have a midweek game. So they can go relatively strong. Because actually, I think that in terms of Kieran McKenna, you probably don't want to have that long off. So I'm expecting a fairly strong side that they put out to keep the rhythm in the legs.
Just on a slight tangent, Mark, you've loved the look of Ipswich from the start. You called it from the off. You saw Leeds United in action on Wednesday evening. Leicester, of course, at the top. You've got Southampton in the mix. Who would you say out of those four are getting top two in the championship?
I think Southampton. I know that's easy to say. What, they 20 games unbeaten or something like that? And they've got a very tough run coming up. They're sort of running is tougher than Ipswich and Leeds. But yeah, I saw Leeds, as you said, Jack, on last night, and they've got some talent in the team, quite clearly. I've seen them live twice in the stadium, once when they lost to Stoke and once when they beat Norwich. And I don't know, there's something missing in there. And I'm not sure if it's just the pressure of playing for Leeds United sometimes and sort of getting over the line that might prove their undoing. Real talent going forward and, out wide as well. It just felt like Norwich controlled the midfield against them. And if you sort of go up against sort of Southampton and to a lesser extent Ipswich, I think Ipswich are sort of just trying to hang on at the moment. Southampton just have more, I think, conviction at the moment in what they're trying to do.
Yeah, no, I agree. Saturday evening, Fulham against Newcastle. What's your bet for this one?
I'm going to go for Newcastle to win. Obviously, you know, Fulham had the disappointment, even though from what I understand, they played reasonably well against Liverpool. But quick turnaround, isn't it? Wednesday night, that disappointment, back out again on Saturday. Newcastle had the midweek off. They're getting players back, so that they're off a break, coming off a nice run. And, even back to they beat Sunderland 3-0. They then lost to Manchester City, but were ahead for a long and large part of that game before getting done by De Bruyne's brilliant. So I feel like Newcastle potentially turned a corner, and this feels like a bigger game for them as well.
Let's move into Sunday's games. Then a couple to preview here. We'll start with the early game. This should be tasty. West Brom against Wolverhampton Wanderers. Mark, plenty going on here.
11:45. You can't play football at 11:45. I mean, well, you can. I mean, it's for pub standard players, isn't it? It's not for professional.
Well, it's always Sunday funny, morning. Isn't it? It's always funny with these kind of derby matches. And I guess the aim of it from a policing standpoint is they just assume the fans will consume less beer, but the pubs just open three hours earlier. So it's just completely pointless.
Or you just get on the cans or whatever. I mean, it's no more of a sort of powder keg derby than sort of other ones that kick off later. I mean, it's obviously not played for a while, but feels very strange to be playing at this time. But it is what it is. I'm going to go for the draw in this game. Wolves were our honorary mention, weren't they, to win the FA Cup. I don't think I can claim it if they do. I expect Wolves to qualify, but whether they do it in 90 minutes. I'm not so sure. Might need a replay. I think this Derby game is different to the Sunderland v Newcastle one, because I was very down and am down on Sunderland and Mick Beale. Not sure about him at all. West Brom are, I think, in a better place. They've only lost twice at home this season. You look at the fact that they've beaten Ipswich, they've beaten Leeds. I know Wolves are better than both of those two teams and better than anything that West Brom will play week in, week out. But I just felt like the prices, I wasn't mad on backing Wolves. So they might have to do it all again. And I think that'll suit the both sets of supporters, won't it? They get to have another go at each other.
Absolutely. Sunday, 2:30, Liverpool against Norwich. Jurgen Klopp, David Wagner, best friends. Who'll come out on top here?
Yeah, friends, football friends. Liverpool come out on top, Jack. Really tough. Are you going?
No, I'm not going. It takes about 7 hours to get up to Liverpool from the sticks of Norfolk.
I think when sort of a team from a lower league gets somebody like Liverpool, you go, all right, it's a nice day out. But the fact is that Norwich have been to Anfield, many times in recent years, usually get absolutely battered. But and Luis Suarez isn't playing, so you'd be glad about that. And I think the Liverpool will rest players because they had that cup tie on Wednesday. They've got a huge couple of matches coming up in the Premier League. Chelsea in the midweek and then Arsenal following that the weekend. So you're looking at not a season-defining couple of fixtures for them, but will go a long way to them potentially losing the title. If they were to, say, lose both of those games, City pick up 6 points, you feel like, oh, here we go again. If they were to win both games, that's massive for Jurgen Klopp. So I do expect them to make changes. And given that, they might not keep a clean sheet. I just went for Liverpool to win 3-1 at 10-1. It's not a great betting heat, this one. I thought from your boys, Jack, started really poorly against Leeds. Deserved to go 1-0 down. Felt at that moment, this could be sort of 3 or 4 without Leeds doing anything special. Actually grew into the game, dominated possession. I really liked Nunez in midfield. I thought he sort of dictated play. Nothing up front. That was the sort of the problem. Sargent, honest as the day's long, but just lacks quality. Ashley Barnes is past his best. Ida had the one opportunity, dillied and dallied on it. And, I know you're down on Wagner and kind of what he brings to Norwich, but I actually felt like structurally they were, well coached at Elland Road. I didn't think that was the problem, just the lack of quality in the key areas.
Yeah, no, I would agree, Mark. Sunday, 4:30, Newport hosting Manchester United. It's always difficult with these types of games, isn't it, to find an angle in? But you do so, and let's try and find a winner here.
Man United in under 3.5 goals at 13-8. United won 2-0 away to Wigan, didn't they, in the previous round? So they're getting a nice run through here, potentially, to the fifth round. But we've seen Newport prove very awkward opponents in previous campaigns in the FA Cup. They've provided a number of scares. That was under a different manager in Flynn, and now they've got Graham Coughlan. But he's got they're unbeaten in 7. They've only conceded 4 goals in their last 6. I expect them to be competitive without sort of troubling United by enough to sort of give them a real scare. And we know from United's point of view, they're not playing amazingly well. So if they can just get through any which way, it probably suits them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Final game we'll preview from the FA Cup is Blackburn Rovers taking on Wrexham. This one Monday night, 7:30. Mark, what's your angle here?
I'm going to go for an upset here. Apart from Spurs, there are a lot of sort of trying to get with favourites. Wrexham around about 4-1. Wow. Obviously, we know that Wrexham have got a big wage bill by League Two standards. Good chance of going up to being League One next season. I've got players that definitely won't be overawed by the occasion of playing at Ewood Park. I'm not saying that. I mean, it's not the it's not exactly the Bernabeu anyway, but it's still I think you do get a situation sometimes when League Two team goes to a Championship. They were a non-league team in last season, so it would still be a big deal. But obviously Wrexham are not an ordinary team that's got promoted from non-league into League Two and potentially into League One. They almost feel like that they've kind of got that big game mentality and the ability to be able to kind of up their game and probably appreciate not being the star turn for once and not that team that everybody's desperate to beat. They're in the unusual role of being the underdog. And there's bad vibes around Blackburn at the moment. One win in A, Travis went to Ipswich, listening to radio phone into
strange that wasn't it
the Blackburn fans not happy with kind of just the direction of the club, the sort of suggestions that John Dale Thomason doesn't have that much say in kind of who comes in and who goes out, and that doesn't have to be a problem. And last season when they were doing well and nearly reached the playoffs, I'm presuming it was sort of a similar enough setup, but it just feels like ripe for an upset when you've got sort of some disgruntled home fans against sort of an awkward lower league club. There may be potential here for Wrexham.
Yeah, seems a big price as well. Right, time to catch up with Aaron Ashley.
If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets.
Well, not sure if Dan Charles is on a sort of warm international break. We welcome in superstar Aaron Ashley to this week's show. Great to chat to you, mate. And a team in focus this week with change on the horizon for Charlton Athletic.
Exactly that, Jack. It seems quite fitting that Charlton are this week's team in focus. They're quite newsworthy. Obviously, Tuesday's 3-2 defeat at home to Northampton called time on the tenure of Michael Appleton. That extended their winless run in the league to 10 games. Their last success was a 2-1 win at home to Cheltenham at the end of November, and Appleton spent only 28 games in charge. It leaves the Addicts 16th in the table, and they're only 4 points above the drop now, so that means they're going to be searching for their sixth different boss in less than 3 years. It's their worst points total and position at any stage of a League One campaign in 10 seasons. And it means that Lee Bowyer, who was in charge in 2019, was their last manager to spend over 40 games in charge. So it's been really bad there, and it's going to be tough to be a fan at present. The most surprising aspect is that Appleton, he was quite active in the January transfer window. He brought in 7 new players. So it seems quite a strange ploy that they were giving him that trust, given that the board obviously knew the pressure that he was coming under. Defensively, they've kept only 3 clean sheets in 28 league games. They're actually about 1 in 16 now. And away from home, they've been woeful. They've won only 1 of their 13 away league trips. Curtis Fleming, who was actually only drafted in 2 weeks ago as Appleton's assistant, he's taken temporary charge for this weekend's trip to Blackpool. And when they've only won 1 in 13 away league games, it looks quite a tricky starting point. I think it's quite important that their next appointment, it has to be right. Obviously, a turbulent time continues there. They're a big deal in League One, Charlton. Obviously, they've been in the Premier League and they're woefully underachieving. All their recent success in the post-Alan Kirbishley era has been with managers that have had an affinity to the club, such as Chris Powell, Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson. They all had successful spells. So I think it's quite important that next that they try and get a manager that can emulate that, get the fans on side and build from there. They're 12-1 to go down. They should have too much quality for that. They've got the joint lead leading scorer in Alfie May, who's got 16 goals this season. They have won 1 in 13 away league games. So that does make this trip to Blackpool look tricky, but they should have enough to stave off the drop.
Yeah, let's hope that whoever comes in next breaks that cycle. As you say, a massive club for that level. So best of luck to Charlton going forwards. Obviously, FA Cup action, a spot of EFL as well this weekend. 3 selections. Who's the first?
So yeah, on Friday night, Jack, I'm going for an upset. I'm going to go for Bristol City at home to Nottingham Forest. They dumped out West Ham in the third round, in a third round replay at Ashton Gate, and I'm backing them to repeat the trick against Nottingham Forest. Forest needed a replay of their own to come past League One Blackpool in the previous round. Chris Wood's 110th minute winner in extra time at Bloomfield Road. That was after a 2-2 draw in normal time. Obviously, they drew the first game at the City Ground 2-2 as well. Nuno, in his press conference on Wednesday, he said that the injury situation's not good. It's not clearing. They've still got 6 players away on African Cup of Nations duty. Morgan Gibbs-White, Tewo Wonyi, Divock Origi, they're all missing. Anthony Alanga's a doubt. So they're short on attacking options. So it looks as if it's probably going to be the same team that came through the struggled past Blackpool. And obviously, they've got Arsenal at home on Tuesday evening, which will take a bit more importance than this. And I just think Bristol City, they've only lost 4 of the last 13 at home. The supporters will be on a high having dumped out the Hammers. And I think they look quite big at 12-5.
Yeah, absolutely. Can definitely see that happening. Bristol City first up. Who's next?
On Saturday, Peterborough away at Lincoln, Jack. Peterborough have looked the most convincing of all those involved in League One title contention, and I fancy them to bolster their promotion hopes away at Lincoln. They've lost only one of their last 21 league games, and they've won four in a row away from home, which includes at Derby, who are obviously one of their title rivals. The visitors are likely to be about Kwame Poku, which is a bit of a blow. He looks like he could play at a much higher level than League One. But they should still have enough firepower in Mason Clark, Joel Randall and Ricky Jade Jones to see off the Imps. Lincoln have failed to win any of the last eight league games and have scored only four times in that period. They did hold Derby to a goalless draw at home last weekend, but the Rams had 19 shots and forced 12 corners. Posh are the league's leading scorers with 54 goals in 27 games, and I don't think they'll be as wasteful.
Okay, great stuff. Third and final pick for this weekend.
And then finally, Jack, Walsall at home to Sutton in League Two. Sutton have carved out a couple of draws in their first two matches under Steve Morrison, but this is their second game in 4 days, whereas Walsall have had a 14-day break to freshen up. Sutton drew 1-1 at Mansfield in midweek, but they lost the shot count 18-3 and they scored their only effort on target, while Barrow on Saturday in the 2-2 draw racked up 16 shots. Walsall have won three in a row at home, which includes victories over second place Wrexham and fourth place Crewe, while Sutton have won only one of their 13 away league games and they're still in great relegation danger. So at 5-6, it's hard to fault with the price of Saddlers, who quite ironically are managed by Matt Saddler.
Three strong picks. Just quickly recap them for our listeners, Aaron.
So Bristol City at home to Nottingham Forest on Friday evening at 12-5. Peterborough away at Lincoln on Saturday in League One. They are 4-5. And Walsall at home to Sutton in League Two on Saturday at 5-6.
Great stuff. Thanks so much.
All good, mate. Cheers.
Mark, time for your best bets for this weekend. We shall start with a bet builder.
It's the Saturday evening game at Craven Cottage, Fulham against Newcastle. Going for Newcastle to win, much the fresher of the two sides. And yeah, I just wonder if Fulham will be able to lift themselves after the disappointment of Wednesday night. Isak to scored in these last four games, real lively forward. There was some suggestion, weren't there, that maybe Newcastle might have to sell him for sort of financial fair play reasons. I can think of a lot of players I'd rather sell in that Newcastle team before him. And then finally, I'm going for Robinson, the Fulham left-back, to be carded. He's actually gone 13 games without picking up a yellow card, but he was booked four times before that. So he's potentially due one. But what I like about Newcastle is the way that they are able to attack down the wings. And, you know, as we speak, Almiron and Trippier, two players that have been linked with moves away, are still at Newcastle. And, yeah, they can cause problems down that right-hand side. So, yeah, it might be a tricky evening for Robinson.
Okay, on to a treble for this weekend.
Yeah, fairly short prices here, but hopefully can still land. So Juventus to beat Empoli. Juve did the business in the Nap last week, winning very comfortably away from home at Lecce. They're not very stylish, but they just get the job done time after time. 14 wins in 16 now in all competitions. Milan to beat Bologna. Bologna just starting to go backwards after a very impressive first half of the season. Milan have won five of their last six. They're getting players back from injury, which was a problem when they were on their dodgy spell. And then wrapping it all up, it's Dortmund to beat Bochum. Jadon Sancho has really enjoyed his return to the Bundesliga. He's boosted the whole club again. They've won their last two in really good style. So it's because of the FA Cup, I found it quite difficult to find, you know, loads of worthwhile bets in England this weekend. So it's a continental treble. Juve to beat Empoli, Milan to beat Bologna and Dortmund to beat Bochum.
Very good. Very exciting. And a nap for this weekend, Mark. What's the best bet?
Yeah, so this is going to the Bundesliga. RB Leipzig, draw no bet away to Stuttgart. I mentioned earlier, didn't I, about Bologna going backwards. Stuttgart were surprising everyone with how well they begun the Bundesliga, going backwards now themselves. Three defeats in four. Their star striker, I think is how you pronounce it. Probably not. Hopefully I've not completely botched that. But he's got 17 goals in 14 games this season, wow, which is a remarkable return. He's at AFCON at the moment. Their win percentage with him, 77%, drops to 43% without him. Understandably so, you know, they've got somebody that's, you know, going at more than a goal a game at the moment. Probably not sustainable for him anyway, but Yeah, Leipzig are not doing amazingly well themselves, but probably a good spot for them here. And they were unfortunate last week. They were twice led against the surprising Bundesliga leaders, Bayer Leverkusen, were pegged back twice and then conceded a 92nd minute goal that sort of broke their hearts. But if they play like that against Stuttgart, hopefully they can get a more positive outcome.
Great stuff, Mark. Well, you've had a very busy week. Are you back tonight and then at the game tomorrow?
Yes. So that went down amazingly well with my wife, as you can imagine. Sort of departed very early Tuesday. We'll get in reasonably late on Thursday, and then said, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to Tottenham on Friday." It does mean the weekend is free of Tottenham Hotspur.
I hope you're cooking like a lovely dinner on Saturday or something.
You know, I've only got one dish, Jack, and I used that one last Saturday. Pork Normandy was cooked to perfection. I don't think we can go back to that well.
You've deployed it at the wrong time. It would have been.
I know. Might have to be a takeaway.
Mark, thanks very much. A big thank you to Aaron Ashley once again as well. If you are having a bet this weekend, please remember to do so responsibly. We will be back next Thursday for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club.